Thank you very much, and welcome back. On PBS's Market to Market show over the weekend, Sean Hackett also said the RVO announcement from EPA was indeed the biggest headline last week.
Well, and in addition, they're really trying to dissuade imported feedstock from producing that renewable diesel, which we know has been a big part of that in the last couple of years. So that combination really, really changed the landscape for U.S. agriculture, increases that demand for soybean crush, increases the demand for soybeans, keeps the money home, keeps the demand home, keeps the jobs home. And when you're looking at the game of acreage now that we're going to have to play next year, where soybeans are going to have to take millions and millions of acres back from corn, from wheat, from cotton, from rice, it tightens the whole system up at a time when prices have been kind of low and kind of unattractive.
How long does a rally last with this news today?
I mean, I think this is not only a short-term jolt, but this is a longer-term pull. I don't think this is a one-off situation. Obviously, you still need to have Mother Nature get involved to create larger upside, but I feel with recalibrating this fundamental situation, looking at what the USDA said this week, you add some extra bean crush, you throw a July weather, hot, dry weather problem, which we think is coming, it wouldn't take a whole lot to move those ending stocks to very uncomfortable levels. And, you know, putting ourselves in that price level of $11.50 or $12 on November soybeans is the technical targets we have for where this might take us as we move into the mid-late July period.
The question was posed, do traders really care about the ending stocks number in a June WASDE report?
I believe they do care about what the ending stocks number is, but once you've traded that number, then it's all about where's it going? Is it going higher or is it going lower? So this is an example for corn. Was it 1.75 billion bushel carryout, give or take, is what the USDA is projecting? If we do a 178 yield, slightly below trend, we're back to 1.3, 1.5. And we know last year we ran up to $5.20, give or take, on that ending stocks. If it's a 182 or 185, we go the other way. So the funds are going to trade weather because they're going to trade which direction are those numbers going to go. Well, it's just this time of the year, we're trying to determine what the yield's going to be. We always start off trend line yields. We're just going to go with that because why not, right? Yeah. And then the market has to modulate. 6 years in a row, we have not made trend line yield crops in corn or soybeans. 6 years in a row. And every year we start off saying it's going to be trend. That's where we're at. I mean, our projection is late June, the weather pattern changes. We get a very dry July. I wouldn't say excruciatingly hot temperatures, but warmer than normal. A good finish and a very, very challenging harvest season. Very wet, very cold, with frost risks in late September potentially coming in. When you run all that through the system, I find it very hard to believe that we're going to come away with a trend line yield crop. I think we're going to be modestly below trend yet again. Well, in the scenario, what we're looking for now is we're looking for this kind of a rally, a summer rally in the market into mid-late July instead of mid-late June to look for cash marketing opportunities. That's what we've been projecting and discussing with our customers, and that's what we're seeing as the opportunity now. Hold for now.
When it comes to the price of corn, what else is the problem?
Well, I think with the start that we've had, understand that most of the time we have a very bad May, June, hot and dry. That's the way the trend has been. And then we get a good July. So the market gets all excited in the first part of the season and then it crashes in July into August. This year is completely different. Great, great start, good moisture, fast planting. So they're going, well, we haven't had a start like this in a while. We're going to get trend line yields. We're finally going to do it. The problem is, I don't believe we're going to have a good July. Finally, we're going to get a July that's dry and hot, and it's going to put worry back in the market that those yields, once again, aren't going to. And listen, it doesn't have to be a major crop problem. 178 yield gets us really, really tight again, and that's not a big thing to ask for.
Let's get Sean Hackett's thoughts on wheat.
We are the best price in the world right now. We are priced to sell. We've had a good crop, at least for HRW, and so we're moving the product. Russia continues to lower their exportation. Looking at the crop they're going to produce, it doesn't look like it's going to be much better than last year. So we have an ability to move a lot of export of wheat to other countries. Now with the trade war starting to calm down, it's a very good sign to see that kind of demand coming for U.S. wheat. And I think it's going to continue. And it's another driver on top of what's going on with the geopolitics now heating up again, where wheat always is sensitive to that. Wheat seems to me like there's too many shorts that have bet too long on a lower price. We did a 500-year price history of wheat prices relative to geopolitical disorders around the world, including the Middle East. And our view is that when you get a ramping up of geopolitics, and if the market believes it's not going to calm down anytime soon, that instability in the region gets the market worried about flows coming out of the Strait of Hormuz, worries about trade flows coming to Russia, Ukraine, given the proximity to that area. And so it wasn't by accident that after that happened, the wheat market got a bid on top of what happened with RVO.
Sean Hackett from Market to Market. His thoughts on cattle and hogs next on Inside Agriculture.